Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is always good, with all everything that's going on, it's always good to bring in my friend Gordon Chang. You could follow him on X at Gordon G. Chang. That's his X handle now. And he had an excellent article today. And when I read it, because we've been talking about it for a couple of weeks now, I reached out and I had to get him on. Gordon Chang, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Rob.
So this article, you basically summed up a whole lot. There's been a lot of rhetoric coming out of the PCR, the PRC, and we've seen them call the American people peasants. And we've seen President Xi basically lecture the American people on how he can play the long game when it comes to this tariff war.
Yeah, and I don't think that he can. And the reason is that the Chinese economy right now is in distress. They reported 5.4% growth for the first quarter, but we know that that can't be right. Although this gets a bit wonky, it's very indicative. In March, they had deflation. Their consumer price index was down for the second straight month. Their producer price index, which measures factory gate prices, was down for the 30th straight month. You can't have robust growth in a deflationary spiral. And even if it were possible, you can't have it for long because it's very difficult for a country to get out of deflation. But to make matters worse, China's having a debt crisis, property market has failed, and Xi Jinping has turned his back on consumption as the basis of the Chinese economy, which means he needs to export more. And just as he needs to export more, Trump has closed off the world's biggest consumer market to China. So it's a world of hurt for Xi Jinping.
Now, for the past 2 weeks, I've been telling my listeners and I've been posting on my social media, the Chinese economy needs the American consumer. The American consumer has just become accustomed to cheap Chinese goods. Am I wrong in saying that?
Well, we have, but we've been accustomed to cheap goods, and they don't necessarily have to be Chinese. Because these days, China actually isn't the low-cost producer. You're talking about countries like Bangladesh in clothing, much cheaper than China. And there are other countries around the world, including those in Africa. The point here, though, is that supply chains have got to move because of the trade tensions between Beijing and Washington. So we're going to see Americans still buy cheap goods, but they won't necessarily be from China.
We've also seen nations like Japan yesterday being in the White House talking about their trade and tariff plans with the U.S. You have Taiwan and the other nations around China in the Indo-Pacific there. Does that place Xi Jinping back in a corner even more to where he feels more threatened if they start making deals with the U.S.?
Yeah, I think so. President Trump has been talking to 75 countries that have contacted the White House. Some say report was 130. The important issue here, though, is that Trump will stitch up trade deals with our traditional partners that will redirect trade flows from China. And as Trump has said, the countries that do the deals first are going to get the best arrangements. And China, which is intransigent, is not going to be among the first. It could very well be the last, or Xi Jinping could take the country off the cliff before he has a chance to stitch up a trade deal with us. So China is not going to be in a good place because Xi Jinping doesn't want to pick up the phone and do what's economically rational, which is to speak to President Trump.
And Donald Trump, President Trump, has even acknowledged that there's a pride thing when it comes to dealing with Xi Jinping. Can you walk us through that, to how this could be done, but it will probably need to be done delicately, maybe through back channels, to finally come to an agreement?
Well, Xi Jinping has configured the Chinese political system so that only the most hostile answers are considered to be acceptable. So it's hard for him to pick up the phone. And he has made it very clear that he will, quote unquote, not be bullied. He believes that the U.S. is the bully. So it's hard for him to do what's rational, which is to come to terms with the United States. But they need the American consumer market, which accounts for about almost 40% of global consumer spending. And China cannot replace that consumer market in either the short or intermediate term, because other countries cannot absorb what would otherwise have gone to the U.S. So whatever Xi Jinping is thinking of, it's just not going to work in these circumstances.
As far as one of these high-level officials calling the American consumers peasants, what is how does it help them or benefit their stance when you had a lot of people in America who, like we've said, come accustomed to this trade, come accustomed to cheap goods, who don't want this to happen, don't want the bulk, their supply chains are in up in the air right now. What good does it do them to aggravate and make angry the American consumer with calling them peasants?
I think what's going on here, and this is just a guess, but I think that the regime is going back to its old playbook of nationalism. So it's sort of gaining favor by denigrating others. I mean, it's the Chinese worldview that they're superior to everybody else on the planet. And so when they call us peasants, you know, it's first of all, they were applying to J.D. Vance, who had used the word. And also, I think it's just playing to nationalism. Now, my dad was a peasant, my family was a peasant, so I don't view that word to be derogatory. But Chinese leaders who have supposed to be representing peasants and workers, who have forgotten about that, they now denigrate the people who are in that category. So I think it shows more about the Chinese mentality than anything else, but it's not helping matters because they do need support from the American people. And being called a peasant, you know, most Americans don't like that.
And I'm glad you brought that up about the people there, because he has a lot of dissension within China himself, Xi Jinping. He's basically holding on with iron fists because they're not very happy with him. There's dissension within his own government, right?
There certainly is. At the top of the Chinese military, it appears he's lost control of the senior officers. And also, I think that there are civilians in the leadership who aren't happy. And that's because Xi Jinping was supposed to step aside after 2 5-year terms. He didn't, which means he's denying a whole generation of leaders chances for promotion. So they can't be very happy with that. And we saw that when he got his third term, there was a lot of signs of instability among the civilian leaders. Among the military, it's even worse. So, yeah, it does not look like a happy regime in Beijing.
Again, we're speaking to Gordon G. Chang, and you can follow him on X at Gordon G. Chang. And I suggest you do, because it's where I get most of my Indo-Pacific information from. He's a wealth of information there, author of a bunch of books on China. Now, I'm looking at your X account right now, and you happen to link a BRICS News account to where a China satellite firm is helping the Houthis target American warships. Can you fill us a little more on that?
Yeah, that's the news that just broke. Apparently, they're providing satellite intelligence to the Houthis to track American ships, probably to guide their weapons. We should be holding China accountable. We should say that any attack by the Houthis on U.S. vessels, we'll consider that to be an attack by China itself, and we should act accordingly. Which means we should stop trading with China. We should stop investments into China. We should not be fueling a Chinese military that is supplying information that is designed to kill Americans. And that's what this is. This is designed to kill Americans. Fortunately, it hasn't happened yet, but I don't think we should wait until it happens in order to do something.
I agree there. I agree completely there. With this trade and their economy in such trouble and their population in decline, does war look like an option to them? Does them increasing their aggression in, like, let's say, Taiwan or somewhere in the Indo-Pacific or anywhere else, that we've seen them do more and more joint drills with Russia. We've seen them do joint drills with North Korea. Do they become more aggressive as an answer to kind of wave that saber?
Yeah, I actually think so. And of course, I'm just guessing. From an economic point of view, with Xi Jinping's policies, they're taking China in ways that can only result in tragedy for the economy. So that means the only way out for the regime is to stir up nationalism. Now, Chinese people right now don't want war. So I don't think that Xi Jinping thinks of war as an option for rallying the Chinese people. But he does see it, I believe, as a way of preventing other senior Communist Party figures from challenging him. His hero is Mao Zedong. Mao used that same tactic when he started the Cultural Revolution, which was to use the Chinese people against other senior Communist Party figures. This is what I'm guessing that Xi Jinping probably will do. The one thing about all of this is that regardless of what's happening in the economy or whatever, we always have to be prepared for anything at any place at any time, because this regime is opaque. There are things that are going on that we can't see, so we've got to be extremely concerned, because Xi Jinping is preparing for war, and is not just mobilizing the military. He's also mobilizing civilian society, calling up reservists, taking over civilian factories, standing up militia units in state enterprises. This is just not a very good story for the world.
And something that I know you and I have talked about is the tens of thousands of Chinese nationals who have made it into the country under the last administration that were believed are trained in sabotage, in getting involved in our shutting down our systems here. Is that still the threat that you always thought it was?
Yes, it is. I mean, we don't know the numbers, but we do know that there are Chinese operatives and Chinese soldiers on our country. We also know that as these migrants have come across our southern and northern border, by the way, there's been a noticeable increase in the tempo of incursions and attempted incursions into our military bases. And also there have been these illicit surveillance of our bases by drones and other means. So we can see that they are looking at our vulnerabilities, looking at our patterns, planning to attack. And so this morning signs are there, plain to see.
There they are indeed. Gordon Chang, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show. You could follow him on X at Gordon G. Chang. Gordon, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show. Always a pleasure.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Rob. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.